Avud Shmuel. It's a very important Gemara. This Gemara, I think, one of the only Gemaras talks about two Nashim living together. A topic that no one wants to talk about. Okay, the Torah talks about Mishkav Zachar all over the place, but the Torah does not make any mention about two Nashim. I'm not going to even say the word. I'm not going to say what the word. You know what the word is. And how does halacha view such a zach? Okay, how does halacha? It's a very, very complicated, very difficult sugya. How do rabbanim deal in halacha with these type of women? So this is one of the only makaris in the whole shas. The whole shas, Kol Torah Kulo, is one of the only makaris to deal with this issue. Avud Shmuel, we have a whole long list of things. Avud Shmuel lo yashavik luhu levenasel dinafke bechutin. He did not allow his daughters. We have a long list of things. But the first thing over here is nogei hilchos Shabbos, and then we go on a tangent to discuss other matters of halacha. So the Eir Shachis, he did not allow his daughters to go out with chutin. What a chutin? Strands of thread in their hair, I guess, in order that they should look beautiful on Shabbos. So he felt that it's a violation of Shabbos. If they're going to have chutin attached to their hair, they will come, Mr. Cohen, welcome. If they have chutin in their hair, they will come to be a shalav chil Shabbos. Next, l'shavikluhu ganion gabi hadadi. He did not allow his daughters to sleep next to each other. Okay, again, this is a very bizarre Gemara. Okay, let me just put everyone on mute because we have over here some background noise. Okay, he did not allow his daughters to sleep together. Number three, he made for his daughters mikvois, like number Shmid Min Shul. Did you see the new mikvah? Did you see the new mikvah yet? You saw it?
Not recently.
It's kamat finished. You know what I'll do? Believe me, I'll take video. I'll take a video and I'll send it to you. Do you watch videos?
Really, kamat finished.
Kamat, do you look at videos on your phone?
You don't have to interrupt the learning. I appreciate you letting me know. Okay, Vaita.
So I'll either take pictures or videos. Tell me what you want. I'll send you some stuff, what it looks like. I haven't been down there in two weeks. But 2 weeks ago, it was almost finished. I would imagine it's almost finished. It's beautiful. Really, 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 really nice. He really did a very choshev job. He didn't just stam pachkarai. They put a lot of thought and effort into this. Oh, look who's here. Santa Claus is here. What's with the green shirt tonight? What happened to the red shirt?
It's the color of all the trees, the evergreen.
It matches your bed. The bed it matches. You have to be in style with the bed. The bedspread over there is green. Vaita.
The bed is green. Okay.
Welcome. It's Lag Bayomet. We're up to Avud Shmuel Samachayam and Aleph. Samachayam and Aleph. We're towards the bottom. The Avud Mikvayis Biyom Nisan and Mavatzei Biyom Tishrei. That Avud Shmuel, he made a mikvah. He made a mikvah b'yom Nisan for his daughters, and he made mats for his daughters b'yom Tishrei. In Tishrei, he let his daughters go to mikvah in the river, but he did not want their feet to get full of mud, which would constitute a chatzitza. And in Yom Nisan, he did not let his daughters go into the river at all. So he made for them special mikvahs, like the brand new mikvah in Rabbi Shvidman Shul. You got to see if a brand new mikvah, state of the art, beautiful new mikvah. Next, Leshaviklu Yoytos. Now, so we learn over three halachas. Avud Shmuel was machmir on his daughters for three things. Number one, he did not let them wear chutin in their hair. Number two, he did not let them sleep together in the same bed. And number three, he made a special laws of mikvah for his daughters. Now, I don't know the answer to this question. There's no Beis HaMikdash. Someone asked this question on the Daf channel. There's no Beis HaMikdash. These daughters are obviously not married. So why did they need to go to the mikvah, period? Why? They would need to go to the mikvah because they were Nizval Taras HaKodesh? Really? were Noshim Nizr al Taras HaKodesh after the Churban Beis HaMikdash? Was it really necessary? Why did he need to make for the Noshim Mikvois in Nisan and in Tishrei? I don't have a good answer. Obviously, they were Nizr and Taharis, and he made for them Mikvois to make sure they went to a kosher mikvah. Vaita. Says here, says that. Now the Gemara is going to review each halacha one at a time. Number one, Loy Shavik Luhu. 1 second, someone's singing. I thought the door was open, I'm sorry. Vaita. Number one. Okay, Loy Shavik Lu Yoitz B'chudim, he did not allow his daughter to go with Chudim on Shabbos. Ah, Frek, the Gemara, Vanan, Tanan, Habanois, Yoitzais B'chudim. We learned in the Mishnah that young girls are permitted to go out on Shabbos with Chudim in their hair, as, I guess, an ornament. The Gemara answers, no. B'nosei de'avu d'shmul d'tzvuin havu. They did not have ordinary Chudim. They had designer tzvuin. They had the most exquisite, the most expensive that you can possibly, money can possibly buy, and there's a concern, they would take it off to show their friends, look what I got. Look, I have, they had a special sale at Junie's, and look what I bought, and this is something you're never going to see again, and there's a real chash they'll come to carry. So the maskana is, if you have ordinary chutin, it's mutter, but if you have extraordinary chutin, fancy chutin, it's aser. Next, Lashavik Luhu Ganoin Gabi Hadadi, he did not let them sleep on the same bed. Lame Masaila Ravhuna. Dem Ravhuna Noshim Hamesoiloi Zoi Bizoi. That's a very hard word to translate. Rashi says Mischachois. Mischachois Mishum Tavas Tashmish. Okay, so it means they rub one against the other. As I told Bishol, this is Kemat, the only Maimer Chazal, B'chol HaTorah Kula, that discusses this type of Toeva that exists in the Welt today, and the Torah does not discuss this, and here it's discussed, and it's this, this is the Sugya. How do we deal with this thing? How do Rabbanim deal with Nashim that engage in this activity B'zman Hazeh in the world of Halacha? So it says over here, Mischatchos Mishum Tavas Tashmish, Zubazu. So what is Halacha? Pisulois Likuhuna. These Nashim are disqualified to marry a Koyein. Why? To who? A Koyein Gadol. Why? Vuhu Isha Bifsuleha Yikach. That was last week's Parsha. Vuhu Isha Bifsuleha Yikach. And he wanted, so does that mean that he wanted his daughter to be eligible to marry a Kohen Gadol? Is that really what it means? Shmuel is living during the time of the Churban. Or maybe it means that since we find that these Noshim are not fit L'Kohuna Gedoyla, because it's not called the Pesula, so he felt that it was a Zilzul in Kedushas Yisrael, B'nois Yisrael should not do this, because since we find that Noshim that engage in this activity are disqualified to marry a Kohen Gadol, obviously it's not a Maila, it's not a Kutazach, and that's why he did not want his daughters to engage in this activity. Or the Pshat is, he really had hope and aspirations that his daughters would marry Kohanim Gedolim, even though now there was no Beis HaMikdash. Reminds me of a story, I know a person who came to America, he was born in America, and they went to Canada, and then they came back to America, and they had to get birth certificates, and the clerk wanted to give him a Canadian, wanted to write that the place of birth was in Canada. And it was very complicated to prove that the child was indeed born in America. And the father went, this is a Yiddish father, and he went Meshuggah, way out of his way to prove that his child was born in America. So the clerk said, what do you care? The only nafkamina if your child was born in America or Canada is if he can be the president of the United States. That's the only nafkamina. There is no other nafkamina. He's entitled to every single benefit. Why do you want so much that it should be on his birth certificate that he was born in the United States, that he was born in America? So the father said, Hagufa, because I want my child to have the opportunity, the potential to be the president of the United States of America. That is the taich of a Yiddish tata. A Yiddish tata, he wants the ultimate, a moiridika musa haskel. A moiridika musa haskel. You want a child to have the full potential. Okay, I'm putting everyone over here on mute. Rabbi Sa, you're all going to be muted. Okay, you're all muted now. Vaita. Vaita in the Gemara. If you want to unmute yourself, you press star 6 or unmute. Vaita in the Gemara. Next, the Gemara is low. The Gemara says it's not so. The Etzim, I'll tell you, he disagrees with that halacha, and he holds that a woman who engages in this activity with another woman is fit to marry a Kohen Gadol. He disagrees with that halacha, and the reason why he did not allow his daughters to sleep in the same bed is because it will lead to taiva. By doing this with another woman, the woman will have a desire to do this with a man. Loi, Savar, ki hechi de loi lilfan, gufa nuchra'ah. What is the word lilfan? Lilfan is a hard word to translate. It means to be attached to a gufa nuchra'ah, another body. She gets used to being with another person, even though in this instance it's another woman, but in the process she'll have a taiva to be with another person, including a man, and that will lead to zinus. Okay, obviously this Gemara over here is Dvarim Ha'imdim Beruma Shel Olam. There's an enormous amount of rabbinic literature, especially in the more recent times, to deal with this category of Nashim that engage in this activity. What status do they have in the Jewish community? If two women come to shul and they say to the rabbi, "Rabbi, we want to tell you that we're getting married. I'm going to marry," Rachel says, "I'm going to marry Leah, and I'm going to marry Rachel. So, Rabbi, would you be so kind to come and officiate at our wedding?" What do you do? Let's say they come to shul and they want you to make a mishaberach for them. Or they want to sell the chametz to you. How do rabbanim in modern America deal with women who do these things, even publicly, or maybe the most extreme case is where they actually get married publicly and they live as a married couple. How does halacha understand them, and how does society, Orthodox Jewish society, deal with them in all different matters? And there's almost no chazal. This is a very big mystery in chazal, because the Torah does not discuss these type of things. The only type of thing Torah discusses is a to'eva, two men. Torah does not mention anywhere, at least not openly, an inyan of two nashim. And the only Maimer Chazal that discusses two nashim is right here. You learned it tonight on the night of Rashbi, Lag BaOmer. You learned BaMeho Isha Yoitza, the Binosei de Shmuel. Shmuel had two daughters. They engaged in this activity. It's pretty bad, two sisters, right? It's bad enough, two women that are not related. Here it's two sisters. It sounds almost like incest. I don't know. I have no idea what's the difference, whatever it is. But it's a very, 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 very shocking Gemara. It's not shocking. If in the Welt is such a Zach, here is the Makar to deal with it. The Gemara presents here three different Svaris. The Gemara presents a Yesoid, that according to one opinion, they are disqualified to marry a Kohen Gadol because they're not called Besulais. Category number next Yesoid, the Gemara says, Ki hechi delo lilfon gufa nuchra'ah, that they should not be accustomed to being with another body, a strange body. And the third Yesoid is, well, no, the truth is that's really going to Yesoidis. I take that only two, but the terminology the Gemara uses is a very unique word. You don't have these words anywhere else in Shas. You have the words Misulolois. What does that mean? And then you have the word over here, Lilpon Gufa Nuchra. These are unique expressions that you're not going to find anywhere else in Shas or Medrash. And these expressions are unique to this sugya, and they need to be defined, and they need to be studied to understand what is the halachic ramifications of these very bizarre matzavim. Next halacha, v'avilu mikvah. This is a famous sugya. This sugya we learned many, many times. This comes up all over the place in Shas. This is Shas sugya. What is it here in sugya? V'avilu mikvah b'yom nisan. They made a mikvah for yom nisan. The only thing we do not know is why in the world did their daughters need to go to mikvah? What are they mikvah for? They're not men. They don't need to go Erev Shabbos to mikvah. What's the purpose of the mikvah? We don't know. I don't know what the mikvah is for. They needed a mikvah for whatever reason. And whatever the reason they needed a mikvah for, if it was Nisan, he said, you cannot be toivel in a river. Why not? Because a river flows. A river is zoichalim. Zoichalim, the water is flowing. It's natural spring water. The halacha is, natural spring water is a kosher mikvah, even if it is in motion. So in Nisan, he felt that it's not a kosher mikvah, because where does the water in the river come from? The majority comes from the river upstream. Why? The snow melts on these big mountains, and it comes down into the river. And even though indeed some of the water in the river is natural spring water, but the majority of the water in the river that swells in Nisan is rain water that has melted. It's snow, ice that has melted, and since the majority is rainwater, it's mevatel, the spring water, it turns into rainwater, and the halacha is rainwater. In order for it to be kosher, it has to be michunosim. It may not be flowing. It has to be stationary. And that's when you go to a mikvah, if you ever go to a mikvah and the filter is on and the water is in motion, it's going in between the filter and into the mikvah, many poskim say it's not a kosher mikvah. It's not kosher. The filter has to be turned off when you immerse in the mikvah, because if it's not turned off, it has the status of zoichalin. The last time I went to mikvah before Corona, I went because they shut down the mikvah in Schmidman because doing construction. I went to Weinfeld, and it was the last time. It was the last time. It wasn't, and the problem was, I come there, the filter was on, and everyone said it's no good. It's zoichalin, and no one can figure out how to turn off the mikvah, turn off the filter. No one can figure out. And it was like, saying, what's the purpose? It's a waste. What are you accomplishing over here? So some guys say, listen, b'di'eved, maybe it is good, maybe different opinions on it, but that's halacha. So Avuda Shmuel, because of this problem, because the majority of the water was rainwater, and the water was in motion, this guy is calling now, I can't talk now, I'll call you back. Because it was Zaychalin, he made for them a special mikvah in Nisan. When there's rain in Eretz Yisrael, Sahad Rabba Pros, the Euphrates overflows. That when there's a lot of rain in Eretz Yisrael, the rain flows into the Euphrates, and the Euphrates flows all the way to Babylonia, to Bavel, where Shmuel was located. Savar, what did he hold? Shalo Yirbu Hanoitfin. Nitfin means the water that is dripping, which is rainwater, al hazoichalin, on the water that is flowing. So therefore, that's why he had to make a special indoor mikvah where the water was collected in one location. And now this is in contradiction to Shmuel. Rav is the one that said this, but Shmuel disagrees. Yama Shmuel, Nahara Mikipe Mivrich. Shmuel holds that even in Nisan, when there is an abundance of rainwater in the river, still the swelling, the blessing of the river is from the rocks, is from bedrock. It swells from below ground. In other words, the more rainwater, the more the mayon, the natural underground spring water, swells to equal and overtake the rainwater. There's a relationship. The Gemara says that when it rains, telling you a chiddush that you're not going to see anywhere else. This chiddush over here is explaining the machlokes. The Gemara says that when it rains, like a chosan yoytze likras kala, when a drop of rain comes out of heaven, the water on the ground rises up. Rabbi, this is a very important phone call. Can you just deal with me for 1 second? I can't. There's not something I can do about this. Sorry, buddy, so that was a very important phone call. I had to tell him because I have a conference call tonight at 10 to 10, and he has very important, he has to know what's going on. Fine. Uplik the Shmuel. Diyamah Shmuel, Nara Mikipi Nivrach. He holds that when the Gemara said that when it rains, it's like a chos and yaitz likraskala. When it rains, so the water on the ground, the water in the river, it rises. It rises to be makabel the kala. The water that comes out of heaven is like a kala, and the water on the ground is like a chosan. And when it begins to rain, there is some type of natural physical metzias where the water on the ground in the pond, in the river, it rises up. Maybe there's some magnetic, there's some type of a gravity. Like, you know, when there's a full moon, we know that the tide rises. So there's also some type of rising. It's very good to have to learn this on Lag BaOmer, because Lag BaOmer tonight is when all of the weddings resume. The weddings resume tonight on Lag BaOmer. So here we're learning about over here the sugya of the Chosan is Yotzei. The Chosan is Yotzei Likras Kala on the night of Lag BaOmer, even though this is not today's Das. Any event, it says, so therefore, Zol Bazach, when it rains a lot in Eretz Yisrael, there's a lot of snow, a lot of rain, then the Euphrates swells. You would be misled to believe that the majority of the water in the river is rainwater. And the truth, it really would be the majority, would indeed be rainwater. But when there's an abundance of rainwater, that naturally causes the spring water to increase, to correspond their output, kineged the abundance of rainwater. The more Shamayim is willing to give, the more the Oretz is willing to produce. And it produces so much that the natural spring water becomes the majority and overtakes the rainwater. So Nochamo, you still have spring water, and the law is spring water is kosher even if it is flowing. Okay, so that's the law of this of Shmuel. Do you have Shmuel? Nahara, the river, Mikipe. Mikipe means from the rocks, from underground, from its natural source. Nivrach is blessed. And what he's saying is, you always believe Yotzei Min HaKlal, have in a river more natural water than rainwater, which means you never need to, a river is always kosher even though it is flowing. Then the Gemara points out that Shmuel internally contradicted himself, because even though here he says that every single time of the year, the whole year, every single day of the year, the rainwater, the river has more natural water than rainwater, but the stira pligu di day adi day diyamah Shmuel, because Shmuel himself elsewhere said ein hamayim metanim bezeichalin, the only time where you can use water that's flowing in a river elapros the Euphrates b'yamei Tishrei b'lvat, in the winter time when there is no rainwater anymore, because all of the snow already melted long ago, so the only water in the river is natural spring water. But implies, but in Nisan, we have to be chayish, that the majority of the water in the river is rainwater. If the majority is rainwater, then it's not kosher. So Shmuel contradicted himself. So is a contradiction. Does he hold, do you need to make mikvois for the Noshim in Yomei de Nisan or not? In one place he says yes, one place he says not. And over here, when it came to his daughters, he was machmir. He decided that he has to make mikvois for them in the springtime, because the water in the river is no good. The majority is rainwater. That's basically the second halacha, the second part of the contradiction. And the ma'isa shahoya corresponds to his second opinion. Rav said this, and Shmuel said this in the second version of his own words, and that's why indeed he made for his daughters these special mikvois in the springtime. So how do you answer the stira? The answer is it all bizman she yisrael oisim mitzvah shel makom bizman al derech agada. The answer to the stira is, like I told you, because this whole yisrael is the chasan is yoytzel likras kala. The more Shemayim gives, the more the Oretz produces. That's a marshal for Klal Yisrael. That when Hashem opens up the Shef of Ruchnius to the Welt, Klal Yisrael, they produce more. That was all fine and true, Bizman She Yisrael Oisim Ritzon Shel Mokim. But in the time of the Churban, Bizman She Ein Yisrael Oisim Ritzon Shel Mokim, we become takers. Like in America, we're takers. Everything is an entitlement. Do we give? We don't give more than we take. When we're doing the Ritzon Shel Mokim, then we give more than we take. If Hashem gives us a little bit, we give back more. When the Shemayim gives a lot of Geshem, then the river, Mikibe Mivrach, it produces more. But when we're not doing Ritzono Shel Makom, we become selfish. We just want to take more, more, more. Give me more. Another stimulus check. More benefits. More money. More. That's the problem. The Maisa with Rabbi Yashif. I think that he would, you know, the minig is you always say to a person in Mitzvah Shabbos, good. Someone says to you good vach, they give you a blessing, good vach. You give back. What do you respond? A good yar. You always give back more than what you get. If I say to you a good vach, you answer back a good yar. You say a good yar, you wish the guy have a good life. You always have to give back more than what you get. So the Maisha Haya, Rosh Hashanah was on a Tuesday night, if it can fall on a Tuesday, whatever it was, and it was Mitzvah Shabbos, and someone said to him, he said to him, a good vach, a good week, that's 7 days. And he answered back, a good yar, have a good year. And he went home, and then he realized he gave back a bracha that was less than what he got. Because this fellow said to him, a good week, 7 days. And he said back, a good year. There's only 3 days left to the year. Sunday, Monday, 2 days left to the year. So he gave back less than what he took. It disturbed him to no end. He told his son, go find this fellow. And the son had a very, very hard time finding him. But he did. He had Siyat Hashmaya. And he gave him a lavish bracha. And this we have out of this Maisa, we're learning here today, the story and the pshat in the drush to understand the machlekes, the answer the stira, when do we say that the spring gives it adds more to the rainwater, when not? Then whatever Hashem gives us, we give back even more. We're not doing Ritzono Shel Makom, we give back less. And that's all nirmas in the sugya, the rain, Hashamayim, Shamayim LaHashem. The rain comes from Shemayim, and the river produces also its own natural spring water. The question is the rainwater mevatel the spring water? So it depends. If we're behaving correctly, then the teva adapts to our minhag. Hashem gives rainwater. We are the aretz. We are the rocks on the ground. We give even more. You give us a little bit, we'll give back double. The male will always be in the river more natural water than rainwater. But we're not doing Ritzono Shel Makom. Hashem is giving down this world rainwater, and we're just taking it. We're not producing more. So the majority is the rainwater. Drives the rainwater, it's not a kosher mikvah, it's zoichalin, and that's why he needs to make his daughters mikvois in Nisan. Got it? Shlomi, you got it?
Sure.
You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Next. We learned over here in the Gemara, poirepes al ho'evan. The word poirepes means to attach. A lot of vocabulary words in this Gemara. It's a very good Gemara for Kindlach. A lot of vocabulary. Poirepes. Al ho'evan, you're allowed to attach a strap to a stone. In other words, you have something, it's basically like a button. You have a jacket, and you want to go wrap the jacket. You want to tie the ritzua, whatever it is. You have some type of strap that you want to attach to itself in order to fasten tightly upon your body. So what do? So we have buttons. We have buttons, plastic little buttons. In those days, there were no buttons. Okay, there were no buttons with holes and machines to make buttons. How did you attach? You had a stone. You go out into the street and you find a stone and you stitch the stone into your garment, and then you go and you take the strap and you wrap the strap around the stone. Something like that, more than that, I don't know. So the shaila is, but it's muksa, the stone is muksa, how are you allowed to do it? The Amid Resha, Perepes, we have a steer, the Mishnah first says, Perepes alo Eden, but not on a stone. Okay, the point is from the Chulu. The Gemara's question is from Nachum. Let me just chaz. I forgot this over here. It says over here on a stone, but and also on an egois and a matbea. Three things. You can go take three things. One of three: either a stone, a coin, or a nut, and put it in the garment, and use it as an anchor to tighten your garment. In fact, the Gemara, but it says in the Reish of the very same Mishnah, it says in the Mishnah that Shepaperes alo Evan. I'm making a mistake over here. The Mishnah, the Stira. You can use these three things. Stira is, in the beginning of the Mishnah, it says that it's only Bidi Eved. Only Bidi Eved. Only if the Eved, the stone, the knot, and the Matbea were already attached to your garment before Shabbos began. Then you're allowed to go and do it. But if it was not attached, and you want to attach it for the very first time, it's forbidden. But it says in the Sefer that lichatchila you can take a stone and you can take it off the ground and go and attach it to your garment and anchor your garment with the stone. So there's a stira. Are you allowed to do it lichatchila, or are you only allowed to do it if it already was attached before Shabbos began? Stira. The Amar Reish, this Dibur Masal says that it's only mutar bidi eved. Only. It's only going to be mutter if you already attached before Shabbos began. The Amr Reisha Poirepes L'chatchila Amr Abaya Seifa Osa L'matbeya. When it says in the Seifa that you only can do it Bidi Eved, only if it was already attached, that's only discussing a coin, because a coin is Muksa. So being that a coin is Muksa, if the coin was already attached to your garment before Shabbos began, then you can continue to do it on Shabbos. But if the coin was not yet attached to your garment, and you want to attach it for the very first time, then you're not allowed to do it on Shabbos. When the Reisha says that you can do it lichatchila, that's only discussing a stone or a nut, but not a coin. That's how he answered. This element that mentioned that it's not a lichatchila, it's only if it already was attached, is discussing primarily the coin, but the stone and the knot, there is no restriction. Armored ratio papyrus, I'm going to buy a sefer that says only b'dievet asan l'matbeya, is going by the coin. Look at Rashi. Rashi says, sefer, the Torah that says loy tifrois, you're not allowed to do this, asan l'matbeya Rashi, towards the bottom of the page. The lav bar tiltulu, aval even, the stone that was designated for this purpose, you can do with no problem whatsoever. Good? Next sugya. This is a gvaldika sugya. This is a yelach l'mayis. Anyone that has grandchildren? Anyone here that has grandchildren will know this sugya very well. Vaita. Omar boyabaye isha mahu shetarim v'tifrois al ho'ego iz lohoitzi l'bino koton b'shabes. A woman has a child that's playing out in the street. The child's playing. He's playing games out in the street. She wants to give him some nuts. She wants to give him a treat. Treats. She wants to spoil the anicle. So what does she do? How am I going to bring the anicle some candy on Shabbos? Social distancing doesn't allow me to go bring. How am I going to bring? So you know what I'll do? I'll go and I'll take a nut. That's going to be the treat. In those days, they didn't have these stores of aisles and aisles and aisles up to the ceiling of all the different varieties of candy. When I was a kid, I mean, we went into Zilberstein's in Lower East Side. The candy section was about the size of one shelf on a bookcase. Not even. That's how much candy there was, the variety. Today, it's literally half the store. I never even heard of these candies. Never saw who. Not to be believed what's out there today. Who has the money for this? But in any event, so what is she, so they, those that give it nuts, that was the degree of treat, to give the child a nut. So she has a garment, and she has absolutely no need to fasten the garment, because the garment is good the way it is. It's a hot day. She doesn't want to make it too tight. But she says, you know what? I'm going to take a nut, and I'm going to use the nut as a fastener, as an anchor, in order to tighten my garment. Not because I really need to tighten my garment, because I want to be able to go out with it into the street, and it should not be considered to be a matzoy, a burden. And then, when I get out into the street, I'll open up my garment, and the nut will fall off, and the grandchild will be able to eat the nut. So this is a harama. This is subterfuge. This is a trick. Trick or treat. This is very good. It's a trick for a treat. How do you like that? That's up your alley. Shlomi, that's mamish up your alley. This is a trick. Trick and treat. Trick and treat.
But it's good.
It's not or. You have to write that one down in your book. So that's the shayla that's called the harama. Boy abaya isha mahu sheta'adim v'tifroif and attach alu egois lohoitzi libinot katan b'shabbat. We don't have time for this, but Abaye didn't have a mother. Abaye did not have a mother. How did Abaye know that a mother would want to do such a thing? Isn't it a good kasha? How did Abaye know such a thing like this? He never experienced this type of love. He was a yosan, had no mother, no father. How did he even know from this? Okay? Rav Simcha Wasserman did not have children. Know that? Rav Elchanan Wasserman's son, Rav Simcha Wasserman, didn't have children. He used to give shmuzim on chinuch habonim. He used to give shmuzim on chinuch habonim. So there was a Talmud and the chutzpah to ask him, Rebbe, how could you give us shmuzim on chinuch habonim? You don't have any children. Sholim, you listening to this? Listen to this chutzpah? What he said to him? How could you give us a shir on chinuch habonim? We don't have children. So he said, you're right, but I watched my parents raise me. I watched my parents raise me. So I have what to say about chinuch habonim. Pilei ploim, yeah? It says it's in the art school book, they have a book, Rav Simcha. It's in that book. That's the only thing that I remember from that whole book. Right? Boy, by Isha Mao Shetanim Mitifrif Alevin Legolim Lubolim Shabbos. Yet Abaya had no mother, and yet Abaye knew about this principle of a mother has so much love for her child, she'll do subterfuges in order to bring out the nut to the street so he has a treat. A trick so that he has a treat. What's the sugi of marimim? The sugi is a fire. Let's say chas v'sham. Oh, tonight. Bar yoichoy mashachta ashecha. There's a fire. There's a sreifa. And you use clothing in the house. And you want to save your clothing. You have a very expensive suit. So you put on not one suit, another suit, three suits. You put on one jacket on top of the other. So you're putting on multiple layers. Mold is a harama. Harama. You don't really want to wear multiple layers. You're only putting on multiple layers to save your clothing so that you can throw it into the fire by Rashbi. An expensive garment into the fire. So that Marshall here is Marimin. So one opinion says it's permitted to do a harama. You're carrying out clothing into the street. Bederech harama. To save them from the Sreifa. To build a mandam, ain't marimin. And there's another mandam that says, Nishta's not so posh, you're not allowed to do that. So the Gemara says, the sugya of the egois, for the enikol, is the zelda sugya. To build a mandam, marimin, bid the lake, or you see that, the hashtoch of pratis, we have all the sugya silver tonight. We learned tonight about the chasan, yaitzilik raskala, we learned about the deleika. If you don't do it, you're going to come to extinguish it. So therefore, Chazal had to be very lenient. See, there are times in Halacha, Chazal were yoreid, l'soiv daita shel adam, and they knew the average man could not be omen in the nesoyon, and if they are too strict in Halacha, it's going to lead to greater chil Shabbos. So they lifted the restrictions. It's mutter because it's me'ikar hadin. It's mutter. You're wearing garment. But over here, if you don't let this grandmother to take out a nut into the street to give the enikel, she's not going to do it. It's not the zelbazach. It's not the same digdarga. Because dear at least you're wearing a full-fledged garment. You're wearing the garment on your whole body, multiple layers. This is not the normal thing to do, to go take a knot and to use it as an anchor to bind the garment to your body better. This is nishta derech. This is not the way people do things. This is not society. Ema Shaper Dami. So maybe in this case, it's not Ema Shaper Dami, which means that it's correct that it's Osir. I made a mistake. I made a big mistake. All the way around. It's not normal to wear more than one garment. How many times have you seen shul, a guy comes into shul wearing two suits, one on top of the other? You ever see that? You ever see a guy coming, he has two jackets, one on top of the other. Two shirts, three shirts, four shirts. I see guys wear a few layers of socks. I'm wearing right now three layers of socks. How do you like that? Okay, I'm not embarrassed. Three layers of socks. I have a special lower layer, and then I have two regular, and I need to do that. It's good for my feet. Good for my shoes. Three layers. But I never saw anyone come to wearing two shirts or two things. So it's not normal. But when it comes to taking a knot and anchoring your garment, it's a belt. That's a normal thing. So maybe we can be matir. So maybe it's permitted. And the Gemara says, Teku. I don't like the pshat. Tishbi Yitari, it's kushus yabayas. It does not say that anywhere. That's make believe. That as a Masorah. But that's not the Teku means, the pshat means, let the question stand. Whenever the Gemara says Teku, it means both Svaros that we have presented are emes. Emes. How could you be right and you be right? You're both right. Emes. Both Svaros have such emes. Teku. Let the dilemma remain a dilemma forever, because both tzedadim are emes. The other mahalach is not. I when you're a child, you get very enamored. Tishbi yitareitz kushiyos v'abayos. When Mashiach will come, Eliyahu HaNavi will answer the question, and one guy will be right, and one guy will be wrong. Okay, if that's Taka the Mesorah, okay, but you should know, I once spent a lot of time on the Sugi of Teku. This is a Nayazach. This Tishvi Taretz Kush Yabayis is a Nayazach. It doesn't say that. The Ikka Pshat of Teku means, like I told you before, it's much more profound. It means, Adraba, don't answer it. We don't want you to answer it. The two Svaros that have been presented are gold. They're gold. Each one has murdic weight. These two sources that we presented, they both are good. Vaita. Now we go to the sugi of Akita. Akita means an amputee. Yoitze Bekad. Now this is the sugya of going in a wheelchair on Shabbos and going with a cane and a walker. Is a person, let's cut to the chase, is a person allowed to go on Shabbos in a wheelchair, a walker? Basically, yeah. Basically, the bottom line is a person is permitted to go with a cane, with a walker, and a wheelchair. That's pretty much what it comes down to. Wheelchair is a little more complex, because usually you need. It's not okay. Wheelchair is more complicated. I take it back. But a walker and a cane, it's mutter. It's gesundheit. If you sneeze today, it's not like sneezing last year. Last year you can sneeze, no one even pays attention. Someone today sneezes, it's like you're a terrorist. It's like they look at you. What did you just do? It's like you. Yeah, it's like a grenade went off. What did the guy do? He sneezed? Huh? He sneezed? It's like the world came to an end. It's like unbelievable. Today, we live in a new world today. Vaita, hakita, yoitze, because gesundheit. Asusa, gesundheit. God bless you. And God bless America.
I'm a smoking cigar.
Hakita yoitze bekav shalom. What are you looking at me like that for? Hakita, Mr. Cohen, you notice we have a very different approach this year than in the morning, right? You notice that? In the morning, we're much more serious. We don't make these type of jokes. Here at night, we don't hold back. We don't hold back in this year over here at night. Hakita yoitze, don't tell anyone in the morning, though. Don't tell in the morning what goes on here at night. Hakita. What?
Kiteya.
Hakiteya. Yoitze bekav shaloi. Kav shaloi means his prosthetic. Is that how I pronounce it? His How do you pronounce it in English, this word? I forgot how to pronounce it. Okay, he goes out with the cow, he goes out with this piece of wood that he uses as a substitute for his foot. Shaloi, he's allowed to wear it on Shabbos. There's no Yisrael Shabbos, there's a mayor. Okay, Yosef, then why? So Rashi says the Yisoid. Rashi's words are gold. It's a shoe. Okay, Rashi learns that this chunk of wood is called a shoe. And just like you can wear a shoe on Shabbos, you can wear the kita. Rabbi Yossi Oyser, he disagrees. Why? He says it's not a tachshit. Now what in the world is going on? This doesn't make any sense. It's a mastir minhag day. Rashi says that the time that a mayor is, it's a minol. And Rabbi Yossi Oyser, why? The last tachshit. Excuse me, tachshit. Man dikar shemei. The issue is it a shoe? Is it not a shoe? And so Rabbi Yossi said it's not called a shoe. He introduced a new concept, a tachshit. What in the world over here is going on with a tachshit? Mazeh. So here on the parish side of the Gemara, Hitaka says, he says not like Rashi, Pilei Ploim. And in the Ois Aleph, he has a ganze zach over here. No, he ignores it. He totally ignores it. Pilei Ploim, he just ignores it. He says it's not called a shoe. That's not what Rashi says. Rashi says it's not called a tachshit. Okay, I don't know. This Rashi is the Bazvusta Rashi of Daf Samach Vav Amud Aleph. Everyone who learns Shas knows this. Everyone knows that this is the Shas Sogya. The stira in Rashi between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yossi. And to answer this, people have lost a lot of sleep. They burnt the midnight oil of Lag BaOmer to figure out what in the world Rashi over here is deviating. This is a famous sugya. Rabbi Sholim probably knows the sugya. He knows the whole sugya inside out. Rabbi Yossi Oyser. Vayta v'im yeshloi beis kibul. However, Rabbi Yossi is master. There's a beis kibul of kisisin. Then he says, Anayazach, a new halacha, tamei. He's mamish, he's going me'inyin le'inyin bo'isa inyin be'inyin acher. And now you're in, that if this piece of wood, if the cavity is thick, it's deep. In other words, you have these pieces of wood, the calf, that is used to support the person's foot. So sometimes the cavity where the limb, the broken part of the limb enters is very shallow. It's a shallow cavity. So then Rabbi Yossi holds you're not allowed to go out on Shabbat. It's not called a shoe. It's not a tachshit. It's a burden. Is it mekabel tumah? Nayadin. Whoever mentioned tumah, tumah mandakar shemei. All of a sudden we're introducing the laws of tumah. Pshutei kliates are not mekabel tumah. A 2x4 is not mekabel tumah. You go to the hardware store. You know that all the things in the hardware store are not mekabel tumah. All the different zachen in the hardware store, in the lumber yard, are begeder pshutei kliates. They're just pieces of wood. They don't have a base kibul. So yeah, over here, this calf, even though it has a shtickle cavity to put the limb into that cavity, the cavity is too shallow. The Mordechai sugi over here, the Gemara is giving a shiur, that if the cavity is too, even though there is a cavity, but if it's too shallow, it's not mekabel tumah, it's still called pshutei kliates. But if the cavity has been etched out deep enough that you can insert in the cavity a padding. Yeah, this is the upgrade. The Mercedes here, this is the upgrade. Not just stomach calf, but it's an upgraded calf because the cavity has been chiseled out deep, and in the depth of the cavity they put moichin, soft material, so when the limb is put into this joint, it should be soft, it should not be in pain. Then it's no longer called pshutei kliates, and it's mekabel tumah. But still, you're not allowed to go out with it on Shabbos into the street. Then it's going to be an imyesh beis kibul kisisin, where you can already put there soft material, tumah. Okay, period. We're done with this halacha. Now we're going to a nayadin called semoichos, shaloi tumayin. Now semoichos is not a calf. Smoichos, basically, you know what smoichos are? It's the same exact thing as hockey, the goalkeeper. What is he called in hockey? I never watch hockey. What is he called? The goalkeeper? The
goalie.
The goalie? The guy there is called the goalie. And he sits there to protect the puck from going into that net.
He stands on his skates.
So what is he has? He goes on his knees. No, he goes on his knees. He has zachi.
He on his knees.
What?
Save, yeah.
He goes on his knees. Catcher in baseball doesn't go on his knees. Catcher in baseball, he crouches down. He has to crouch. He doesn't go on his knees, catcher. He has
on his knees.
What? Goalie doesn't go on, a goalie doesn't go on his knees? He goes on his knees much more than a catcher goes on his knees. Any event, they got these zach and they put these knee guards, not just knee, it goes down the whole foot. It goes down the whole foot. So this fellow over here that his feet are not functional, let's say he's missing the lower portion of his foot. The sole of his foot with the toe from the ankle down. How is this guy going to walk? So the way he walks is he goes on the leg part, on the low portion of below the knee. He basically he crawls pretty much on that lower portion. But he puts on a protective gear on that portion so he can move around. That is called the sumoiches. They're like shoes, but they're not shoes on the bottom. They're shoes along the length of the foot. Okay, and likewise, there's another category. Let's say there's another type of smeichas. The other smeichas is a guy who has his feet amputated from the knee below, not from the sole. So he also puts on the kneecap, where it's amputated, also some type of guard. That's called smeichas. So these things, it says over here, is tamei in midras. These things have a very significant cavity. And memela, they're not called pshutei kliyeitz. They're called base kibble and the mekabel tuma, and number two, smoch shlom etmein. Now they etmein. They're tamein midras. They're like a chair. They're a whole new category. In the case before of the kav lets the guy stand vertical. Okay, the kav allows the person to walk vertical, so the kav becomes a minnow, like a shoe. There's no halacha that a shoe is mitami tumas midras. Okay, we have over here some noise, so I have to be rude, and I have to put everyone here on mute. Okay, you've all been muted. Sorry about that. Weiter. So let's understand this very important yisoid. This is a very important yisoid over here. The sefer called tumas midras. A nida, a zav, a zava, if they sit down on a chair or a bed. A chair or a bed that's designated for sitting or for lying down upon. If they are an avatoma, it's magic. The bed and the chair become an avatoma as well. Even though they did not make physical contact, there's been no physical contact. The fact that these items have been designated for lying down or for sitting, automatically they have a din of a midras, and if an avatoma sits down or lies down, then these items become an avatoma. What about your shoes? Ask a nida. Go over into the street and just, you know, pick out a random woman and ask, are you a nida? And say to her, if you're a nida, it means you're an avatoma. If you're an avatoma, are your shoes also an avatoma? And she'll tell you, no, they're... What?
That's a
reason,
are you a nida?
Ask a nida, if you're an avatoma, are your shoes an avatoma? No, they're not. Oh, but if you is the chair that you're sitting in an avatoma? Yes. So why is the chair an avatoma and not the shoes? Both of them are supporting you. They're supporting your full weight. The answer is, one is a shoe and one is a chair. Minat Torah, only a chair or a bed has a din of a midras. A shoe does not have a din of a midras. The shoe will be a rishon. If the woman is an av, then the shoe becomes a rishon. So when it comes to the calf, this piece of wood that is being used to support this fellow, that he can walk vertically, like a human vertically, so then it's a minol. It has the status of a shoe. A shoe does not become a midras, but the smoichis, they are acting, they are functioning not as a shoe. They're not helping this man walk vertically. They're helping him walk like an animal on his fours. The man umoisar adam min abehema oyin. Oyin, Erushalimin, Ayin Aleph is Aleph Yud Nun is Rosh Tevas. A human being is, I forgot already. Can you help me, Rabbi Shlomo Lehman? From Lois are Adam and Abahema Oyin. Af, what's Af?
Amira,
Yediya, and Neshama. Beautiful. Okay, that's the only difference. Now, what about crawling on the fours? Man, the Gemara says there are five things that man is like a malach. We stand vertical. Animals are horizontal. They go on their fours. So these things, the smoichos, help man go on his fours. The mela, they have a din of, they have like a chair and a bed. And the mela, they become a midras. They're not like a shoe. Smoichos shaloi tmei midras. The yaitzin, and another halacha, the yaitzin b'chem b'shabbos. Number four, they're not called shoes. And it is forbidden to go on the Har HaBayis wearing shoes. You're not allowed to wear shoes on Har HaBayis. The smoichos are not called shoes. So this fellow can go with the smoichos into the Beis HaMikdash. They're not shoes. And number five, of ein the ein nichnasim I was right. The nichnasim b'chem ba'azara. Good, done. Four things. Okay, so remember tonight you learned four things about the smoichas. Number one, really there are three things. I take it back. Three things. Tmei and midras, they go together. Tmei and midras. Number two, Shabbos. You're allowed to wear them on Shabbos. It's part of your body. And number three, v'nichnasim b'chem azara, they're not called shoes, you can walk with them in azara. Next halacha, kisei, let's say, rachman litzlan, this fellow, he's amputated from the knee down. So the way he gets around is, he sits on a chair, like a wheelchair, so to speak, but he also uses the kneecaps. So he has different smoichas. I made a mistake. He has different smoichas. There are two. I have a picture over here in the Gemara. There are two types of smoichas. There's smoichas for a fellow who's missing the sole of his foot from the ankle below, and there are smoichas for the fellow who's missing his foot from the knee, from below the knee. So when the person is only missing the sole of the foot, so that person, the only thing he has is smoichas, and the smoichas basically cover the entire lower portion of the leg, and he crawls upon it. When a person, Rachman al-Islam, is missing from the foot below the knee, then he has two things that keep him going. He sits in a chair, like a wheelchair, and the tip of the knee, the lower portion, is covered with a cap. And that cap is also called the smoichas. So if the person is a kisei smoichas shaloi, in that, we discussed now a different fellow, who's missing both portions, in his case, the kisei and the smoichas shaloi tmein midras, both the kisei and the smoichas are midras. The ein yoitzin, in this case, he's not allowed to go out on Shabbos. And also the ein nichnasim b'azara, because this has the status of a minol. Next halacha. Next is loiktumin. Loiktumin is a mask. Okay, a mask. N95. Loiktumin is bigamatria N95. Did you know that? It says tahorin. It's tahar. It's not a utensil. It's not a, Rashi says, it's not a kli tashmish, and it's not a tachshit. It's not beautiful. There's no fashion statement in wearing a mask. What exactly is the like? Look at Rashi. Nasin l'schoik l'havis tinoikos. Rashi says it's made as a joke to scare children. That's Rashi. Rashi's loiktumin is some type of zach. Doesn't really explain what it is. On the side of my mother is an ozayin, and the ozayin says it's a michse. It's a covering. And a mask. Okay? And over here in the Masifta Gemara, he tells you, loiktumin kimin partsuf mishune shenoistim alaponim lehafkaratinoikas. Okay? So he says it's like a mask, a full mask. Not a mask. Not just a mask that goes over your mouth and your nose. it's like a masquerade mask, a masquerade, a poor mask that covers the gantz upon him. Okay, the gantz upon him. This is not called a kli. It's not called a kli tashmish. It's a garnished, and it's not a kli tashmish, and it's not a tachshit. The male is not mekabel tuma, and you're not allowed to go out on Shabbos. But a mask that you use to cover your mouth and your nose, that is a kli. That's a kli tashmish, and the male that you're allowed to wear on Shabbos in the Rishus Rabbim. Okay, that's halacha. Okay, that's the basic he says over here of the kisei. Amalei Ravel of Nachman, hechi tnan. Okay, we're out of time. It's now an hour out of time. I have to stop over here. So we'll continue tomorrow. All right, 9:30. Thank you for learning with me. Thank you very, very much. If not for you learning with me, then I wouldn't know what to do the whole day today. I would have nothing to look forward to. The whole day is different. Happy Lag Bomer. May the Tzchus of Rashbi. No, I didn't. I'm not supposed to do that. You're allowed to still make a bracha. That's the halacha. If you make a mistake and you say it, you're still allowed to count Sira. Because I had no kavanah to count. It's mutter. I learned that in the shiur this morning. Someone said that in the shiur this morning. Right, Mr. Cohen? I think someone said in the shiur this morning that you're allowed, if you may make a mistake and you say it. What? What? I can't hear.
What?
I didn't hear what you said.
Sorry. Was it doctor that was nifta from the column?
Who's nifta?
No, I don't know. This morning it was mentioned that some doctor was nifta. I don't know.
Dr. Tesla?
Yeah.
No, that Dr. Tesla?
Dr. Tesla,
I know, I didn't know him. I met him maybe a few times. He's the brother of my next door neighbor, Dr. Seymour Tesler's brother. I was Menachem Avilim tonight. We daven mincha. We daven in the backyard mincha. He said Kaddish, and I said to him, Amokah Menachem. And I said to him, send regards to your wife. We daven mincha right before I came to the shir. I came from his backyard.
His brother was sick.
His brother was sick?
I think so, for a while.
What was he sick from?
I think COVID. I think it was before COVID.
Before COVID? So they said today in the shiur in the morning that he got COVID. And they sent him to the hospital. And miraculously he pulled out of it. And they took him home. They took him home. And he was getting better. And then suddenly he died. Poof, he just died. Like Aaron Price, he was at COVID for 3.5 weeks on a respirator, and then he turned over a new leaf, and they were mamish getting ready to discharge him, and then he went to cardiac arrest and they couldn't resuscitate him. Okay, so very scary.
Do you have any pleasant?
What's doing with your cousin? Terrible. What?
The saying mass for him for 40 days.
The what?
The saying mass.
I can't hear you. You're cutting out. Say it again. Say it again. I didn't hear what you said.
He made up the saying mass for 40 days.
40 days? Nishmas. They're saying nishmas for 40 days? Who's saying nishmas? The family? You say every day, you say nishmas. No, may have a refuah shalema.
Good night.
Good night. I'll see you tomorrow. Good night. Be well. Good night.